take your Bible and look at the book of Psalm 32. Psalm 32. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible probably right there under your chair somewhere near you. If not, we'll have the Bible on the screen there for you here in just a second to help you. Psalm 32, we'll read five verses. And after we read those five verses, we'll pray and bring to you what the Lord has for us in Psalm 32. How many of you are happy this morning? Are you happy? Truly, truly happy. Psalm 32 in verse number 1 says this, "Blessed is he." Now, when I read this, I want y'all to do your best to stay in your seat. Don't get excited about what we're about to read. Tommy's already excited. Blessed, or some people might say blessed, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. David, when he wrote this, he said, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Selah. "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray that you would help us for the next few minutes as we look into your blessed book to find the treasures that are here for us to have. I pray, Lord, you would bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. There's one thing that's true about everybody in the room, including me, including you, including everybody that you know. There's one truth that every person gathered here has a desire to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. I know a bunch of people that are not happy that I know. You run up on them and you say, "How you doing?" And you wish you wouldn't have asked, "How are you doing?" But most people, they desire, they want to be happy. Whether they're happy or not, they want to be happy. One little girl asked her mom, said, "Mommy, why is there so many of those white hairs that you have?" And the mother replied and said, "Well, every time you do something that don't make me happy, one of those white hairs appears." That little girl thought for a minute. She scratched her head. She said, "Mommy, how come Grandma's hair is all white? Everybody wants to be happy. The desire to be happy is something we all pursue. People will buy it or try to buy it. They'll beg for it. They'll have to steal it if possible. But happiness is not something that you buy, that you beg, that you steal. Happiness is something that is found only in one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Drawing your attention to this phrase, "Blessed is the man." Now, I don't know. There might be some other Sundays that there's several of these. There's probably about 14 of these found in your Bible. Blessed is the man. Psalm 1 is a perfect one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, and so on and so forth. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who endureth chastisement. All through, there's about 14 of those. And here's one, and blessed is one of those words that means, and it speaks of, happiness. Now, let me say this. Happiness to a lot of people is determined upon their circumstances around them. But being blessed, you can be blessed no matter what the circumstances are around you. Being blessed is not determined upon whether the car payment is paid or the house payment is paid. I'm blessed. Blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven. Whether my bills are paid or not, I can be blessed. So there is a difference, but that Bible uses the same blessed and happy. Psalm 146, David says this in verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The word happy and blessed go hand in hand. Now, for the next few minutes, let me give you some secrets to true happiness. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 found David in a bad place. David was in a bad place. David, if you know the story of King David had a situation with Bathsheba. You understand the story. And let me give it to you real quick. David goes up onto his balcony. He looks over to the neighbor's house. And he looked, and he should have went back into his house. But he looked twice, and the third time. Then he left his house and went over and knocked on the door. And boy, then he really got in trouble. Then he started having to cover and cover and tell a lie and cover this to cover that. And then he found himself in Psalm 32 in a big, big mess. Psalm 32, this is where David was coming from. But then David, by the end of Psalm 32, he finds happiness. He finds joy. And the joy bells in his heart are ringing. Why? Because God has forgave his sin. Number one, the sin that was covered. Notice in verse number 3, David says, when I kept silent. David tried to attempt to cover his sin. And ladies and gentlemen, you can cover it from the preacher, you can cover it from the church, you can cover it from your friends, but you cannot cover it from God. He said, while I kept silent, I tried to hide it. Notice there are three words that David uses in these first couple of verses. In verse number 1, he uses the word transgression. And then the word sin. And then in verse 2, he uses the word iniquity. He uses three words to describe what he's going through. That word transgression is a word that means rebellion against the Word of God. Where transgression is knowing what's right, knowing what God said, knowing what God's against, and going ahead and doing it anyway. That's transgression. That's rebellion, revolt against the Word of God. Number 2, that sin. That sin has the connotation that is missing the mark. If you remember Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Coming short, missing the whole target, if you will. That is the word there, missing the whole mark. And then that word iniquity, that word is has the underlying meaning of being distorted or crooked. What David was doing was spiritually distorted and was morally corrupt, if you will. But notice what David says. In verse number 3, he says, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. He said, my sin, they're haunting me. My sin is hounding me. My sin is making me up in the morning. My sin, and I'm trying to cover, is waking me up, and I my bones hurt. I'm trying to cover this. And it's like one of those records that, now, most of you ever know what a record is. It's one of those big CDs. And that thing, if it's on that needle, it gets stuck. And it keeps repeating, 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 repeating. David's like, this thing is like a stuck record. It keeps repeating over in my mind. And my bones are waxed old through the roaring all day long. I can't get any sleep. It's heaviness upon me. It's haunting me. It's hounding me. Then in verse 4, David said, my moisture is turned unto drought of summer. David said, I've cried so much, there's no moisture in my eyes anymore, and in my heart it's dry. There's a drought going on the inside. It's like a desert. I'm barren. No fruitfulness at all because I have nothing to water it with. David You could have stamped the word remorse with all over, capital letters all over David. Notice the sin that was covered. But number two, watch this. The sin that was confessed. Proverbs 28 and 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaken them shall have mercy. Notice what David said in verse 5. He said, I acknowledge. After he said, I stayed awake all night, my bones hurt, I was honing, I was hurting. All of these things, he said, I couldn't get any sleep, I cried, no tears was coming out anymore. And then verse 5, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. David says, I've had all of this, I can handle. He says, I'm coming clean. I'm tired of not being able to sleep. I'm tired of my bones hurting. I'm tired of not having enough tears in my eyes to cry. Notice this humbleness before God. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. You know, he was hiding it first. He said, I kept it secret, I was hiding, and now I acknowledge it, and I'm not hiding it no more. No more rebelling against God's law. No more hiding. Psalm 51 said this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. David comes before God in brokenness, contrition, humility. He said the word acknowledge, you mean knowledge, means to know. What is it? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That acknowledgement means this, to agree with God. In other words, God looks at it and you look at it and I agree with you, God. I agree with what your word says. I'm in that shape. I'm guilty. Isn't that wonderful? When we confess and come clean, after we've covered and confessed, it was almost like this eel of evilness, this wickedness, this sickness that was in David. All of a sudden, he got relief when he confessed it. He was becoming honest. Not only was he humble, but he was honest with God. He said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Confess. And that word confess means, it's what the word confess means. To hold out your hands. Now, here's the illustration. Y'all ever done this? I remember doing this before. Y'all pray for me. But growing up, especially in the preacher's home, let's use our imagination. And the kid, he's got his hand in the cookie jar. And the parents have already told him, you can't have any cookies before supper. It'll ruin your supper. How many of y'all ever heard that? It's going to ruin your supper. And so the parents come in the living room or the kitchen, and the kid's got his hand in the cookie jar. He sees his parent. He pulls his hand out, and he does this. Y'all with me? I know y'all ain't never done that before. And then your mom or dad says, what's that in your hand? What hand? I don't have anything. I always stand like this. I don't have anything in my hand. Why you ask that? It's an odd question. And they said, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. And then have to do this. That confession is to show your hands. You ever notice somebody in church when they are getting really blessed over a song? Some people, everybody reacts differently to certain things. Some people cry. Some people get happy and laugh. Some people do this. It's like showing God, I ain't got nothing to hide. Confess. I'll show you my hands. Nothing up my sleeve. God, I'm confessing. That's what David did. He was hiding it like this in verses 1 and 2. And by the time you get to verse 5, he's like, I confess. I acknowledge my transgression unto the Lord. Now let me say this. Number three. And I'm going to find some more points. I only have 3 points. It's 20 minutes to 11. There ain't no way I can quit now. The sin that was covered. The sin that was confessed. But then number three, let's get to the good stuff, because some of you are like, man, I wish he'd get off his sin stuff. I wish he'd get off of that stuff. But number three, the sin that was cleansed. Notice in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. When David confessed his sin, God cleansed his sin. The cleansing of the sin was what made joy bells ring in David's heart. Verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Remember what we said about the word blessed a while ago? In a few minutes talks about the happiness and the underlying word of being happy. But David had been under so much burden. And now he's not burdened, but he's blessed. Amen. He's not burdened, but he's blessed. He's happy. Why is he happy? Because his sins have been forgiven. It's almost like he took a bath. Don't y'all feel better when you take a bath? I know a bunch of people at Walmart that need to find some water and some soap. Hallelujah! Whether you take a bath or you take a shower, most people, don't it just feel good right before you go to bed to get in some clean sheets? Before you get in them clean sheets, you either take a bath or you take a shower in that hot water and it just relaxes you. You come out feeling clean. And you can rest better when you're clean. There's something about it. You can't rest good if you're dirty. And your sheets is dirty. And there's crumbs in the bed because you've been eating cookies in the bed. And you roll around all night long because you're just rolling around in cookie crumbs. But when you get some clean sheets and you get out of that warm shower and you've been clean, boy, you slip in there and rest. There's something about it. You just rest better. It's easier to sleep when everything is clean. Not far from New York, I found this, and I found it interesting. There's a cemetery. There's a little gravestone. And on this little gravestone, just outside of New York over there, don't have a name. You know, usually you have a gravestone that says a name, and it says their birthday and the day they passed away, and maybe some kind of epitaph or whatever it says, you know, something, or some kind of eulogy or whatever. But here's the gravestone. No name, no birth, no death date, no nothing. The only thing it says is forgiven. You don't know who's under that ground. You don't know who's buried there. But there's one thing you know about that person. They're happy because they've been forgiven. It don't matter what your name is, what day you were born, or what day you pass away. Ladies and gentlemen, it matters if you've been forgiven. Cleansed by God Almighty. 10 things they say that you'll never regret. One of them is showing kindness to an older person, and number two, destroying a letter written in anger. Some of these stuff looked up. How to be happy. Things you'll never regret. Offering an apology to save a friendship. And all kinds of things. I'm not going to read all 10 of them. But refraining from gossip when others around you like it. Refusing to do things wrong, and so on and so forth. But one thing you can add to that list that wasn't on this list that I found, but one of these things that'll make you happy, is knowing that you've been forgiven. Now remember, I told you this. David used 3 words. Remember, he used 3 words. Transgression, sin, and iniquity. And I told you what all 3 of those meant. He used all 3 of those words. Well, guess what? God uses three words to counteract those three. Watch what he does. Number one, he uses this word, forgiven, covered, and in verse 2, imputeth. Three words. David used three words to describe his sin. God uses three words. They're forgiven, they're covered, they're imputed. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. But that word forgiven has this. The word means to lift and to carry away. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest that would come, the nation of Israel would come, they would bring two goats. There was a scapegoat and there was another goat. And high priest would put his hands on the head of that goat. And it was a symbolic thing of putting all the sins of the nation of Israel on that scapegoat. And then they would run that scapegoat out into the wilderness, never to be seen again. All the sins on him. Now, boom, get out of here. And the scapegoat got away, and then they would kill the other one and shed the blood. This forgiven is to be carried away, lifted and carried away. That's what that word means. And then number two, covered. The word covered means which is concealed, hidden from sight. Now, here's what happened. Now, watch this. Y'all see this right here? This is David's sin right here. David's sin. David said, I'm going to cover that up. I don't want nobody to cover that up. David went to bed that night. His bones hurt. He didn't cry. He hurt. He was haunted. And all these things were haunting him in his mind. He couldn't sleep good because he done covered something. David says, mm-mm. David's like this. He says, God, I know you already know it, but I'm coming clean on this. So what God does, he says, all right, David, since you uncovered it, let me cover it back up. If you want to cover it, you ain't going to be able to sleep at night. But if you'll uncover it and confess it to God, say, God, there it is. God says, David, let me help you. Let me cover that back up for you. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what that word covered means. And then this is what he does. Not only does he carry it away, not only does he cover it, but that other word imputeth. Now, you ladies know what, you ladies may not understand what this word means, but you really do. You may not just know it. But that word imputeth means charge it. Men, say amen. They may have not known what imputeth means, but they sure do know what charge it means. Imputeth means input, charge it. If you use a credit card, you're inputting it on the card. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I'm enjoying my own preaching. David says this word imputeth is a financial term. It's to put on one's account. It means that this sin was no longer charged to David's account, but it was charged to God's. So not only was it lifted and carried away, not only was it covered, but it was canceled. Now, let me say this in closing. I know, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, but I know y'all have had a speeding ticket before. I've had some. I got pulled over one time, and this trooper knew more about the Bible than I did, and I didn't know it. I got pulled over, and as always, what you're supposed to do, you always keep a Bible handy. You lay it up on the dash. So he sees it. Hallelujah. So I grab my Bible, lay it up on the dash. He comes up. You know? He says, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a preacher. I see my Bible, got my Bible. He says, well, if you're a preacher, you probably know what Romans 13 says about obeying the laws of the land. I took my Bible, put it back in the console. I said, hallelujah. It was like this. You got me. But if you ever had a speeding ticket, well, let's just go a step further than that for the illustration purposes. Let's just say you committed a bad crime, a crime that would deserve the death penalty. You go before the judge. The judge says, how do you plead? And some people are like this. Not me. And there are some instances where I'm just follow the illustration. There's some instances where, you know, all that. But anyway. But here a person says, Your Honor, I plead guilty. I agree with the judge. Judge, I agree with you of what you say about me. And I agree to take that punishment. God says, okay. God gets off the judge's bench. He comes down here 2,000 years ago. He goes to the cross, stretched out his arms, and dies for the sins of the whole world. He raises, remember last Sunday, up from the grave he arose. And when he arose, he ascended back to the throne. He gets back onto the throne in heaven. And he says, the debt's been paid. Amen. Now, if you ever know anything about court, if you get a speeding ticket, you can go in there and pay your fine. Even the judge can go in there and pay your fine for you. And did you know you can go in there a week later and tell the clerk, say, clerk, can you pull up my speeding ticket? She'll pull it up and yep, you was here last week. It shows paid. It still comes up in the computer. But when God does it, he goes into the clerk's office after he pays the debt for you. And he wipes it out of the computer, Tommy. To where you come back a week later and say, clerk, can you pull up that? It's nothing in here. Don't make me turn bad to cost alone, y'all, this morning. It ain't in the computer. It's clear. It's gone. Now, that's why David says, blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven. You say, preacher, I've been bad. Hey, David was bad. The Apostle Paul was bad. All through the Bible, you'll find bad, bad people. But at the end of their lives, those people, when you read about them, at the end of their lives, they die happy. Why? Because they have been forgiven. Now, let me say this in closing. I said it when we first started the sermon. Are you really happy? You say, preacher, I'm going through. I ain't talking about your circumstances around. I'm not talking about what you got to go home to. And I'm not talking about what's facing you tomorrow or all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. That's based upon circumstances. I'm talking about, are you happy? The only way to be happy is to be forgiven. If you've never been forgiven, maybe you lay awake at night. Maybe things are haunting you at night, bothering you, because there's stuff on you. You went to bed dirty. You can't get rest. But if you'll come to the cross, what did we sing a while ago? There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me blessed? What can make me blessed? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning, that I am a blessed is the man. Whether man, woman, boy, girl, makes no difference. This verse fits. Lord, if there's somebody in the room right now that's never been forgiven, they've never trusted you, they've never been washed in the cleansing flow, I pray, Lord, today they would call out to you, which comes their help. They would call out to you for salvation. And Lord, those of us that are saved, help us to walk out of this place today blessed because we have been forgiven. Our sin has been covered. Our sin has been cleared, taken out of the computer, never to be remembered against us anymore. Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Anybody coming? Coming to pray. Anybody coming to pray? Some more coming? Blessed. Happy. Sleep good at night? Desire to be happy. They want to be happy. They look for happiness in all kind of places. Some happiness will be temporary. Yeah, you can be happy for a day. But all in Jesus. Happiness turns to blessedness. Just a few minutes or people pray. You still got time to come if you need to.